everyone. This is Peter Granich. I always remind you, this is not to be considered investment advice. You should always speak to a licensed financial advisor before making any investment decision and to read all my disclosures. Over the past 50 years, U.S. wealth inequality has grown sharply, with the ultra-rich seeing their real wealth jump roughly about 3,500% since 1976. The top 0.01% gained about 2,200%, and the top 0.1% increased by 1,200%, while the average household saw only a 200% rise after inflation. Most of the top 0.1% wealth is in stocks, mutual funds, and private businesses, so they've benefited the most from rising asset values. Lower income households face much more debt than assets for nearly 20 years, only improving after 2020 due to stimulus payments and rising home prices. This resulted in most wealth gains going to asset owners, while others struggled to build wealth, increasing criticism of the tax system and sparking calls for policies to reduce inequality. This trend demonstrates a K-shaped economy recovery, where individuals with market investments experience increased wealth, while numerous lower-income households depend on debt despite general economic growth. Buy now, pay later, better known as BNPL, is increasingly seen as a sign of financial strain rather than convenience. LendingTree reports that 47% of buy now, pay later users paid late at least once last year, up from previous years. Over half rely on BNPL to make ends meet, with nearly 30% using it for groceries, rising to 38% among Generation Z. One in four has multiple BNPL loans at once, indicating stacked payments and future cash flow issues. Buy now, pay later obligations often go unnoticed compared to credit card debt, yet they still impact monthly budgets. Many users overspend due to its ease. Nearly 70% report overspending and over half regret using it. Overall, buy now, pay later rise reflects growing cash flow pressures and reliance on short-term financing across many demographics. U.S. consumer spending growth has slowed to just 0.8%, the weakest since 2020 and comparable to the 2001 recession. As personal consumption accounts for about 68% of the U.S. gross domestic product, a continuing decline could directly threaten economic growth. Despite nominal gains, U.S. consumer spending has barely changed in 5 years. March retail sales increased because of higher gas prices, better weather, and bigger tax refunds, but inflation-adjusted sales actually fell. Consumers spend more for less, while real retail sales have remained unchanged since early 2021. The U.S. economy remains active, but growth is mostly limited to wealthy households, as most people face rising financial strain. As of recent data dating back to 1989, the top 20% of earners, which are individuals with annual income exceeding $175,000, now account for nearly 60% of the total U.S. personal consumption expenditures. Currently, the United States households hold 52% of their financial assets in equity, making the highest proportion ever observed. This figure surpasses previous peaks, including those during the dot-com bubble, the 2007 high, and any other period in the past 65 years. This past Friday's S&P 500 all-time high at 71.65 came with 324 stocks closing lower, second worst negative breath ever, behind only October 28, 2025. When the index climbs on shrinking participation, this is extreme and it's often a warning sign. History says watch for mean reversion. When breadth goes negative during a record high, it's a warning shot too, not a bull signal. This is a repeat of the October 28-25 setup. The S&P 500 is technically hitting new highs, but the average stock is drifting sideways or down. This is happening when institutional liquidity is forced into safe mega caps because they don't trust the rest of the market. It's not broad strength, it's defensive concentration. Trump claims the stock market reflects the economy at its peak. Nothing could be further from the truth than my book. 42 years in and around the financial arena demands I bet against him, not on him.